Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And we're your coaches, mom's psychotherapist. I'm a master's degree. I have a master's degree in
You're so cool.
Design.
You're just so cool.
We're in the process of doing a lot of cool stuff.
And we're here mom we are. And daughter.
We're in this radio show. We're listening to we're listening to all this cool stuff on Netflix, such as Father Brown.
Screw Bird Box.
Yeah,
Father screw
Brown
you. We
and
watch Father
Mrs.
Brown.
Fletcher's mystery.
Miss Fisher's murder mystery.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, we are going BBC.
Yeah.
Retro PBS. Yeah. Yeah. Retro, and then now the Australian public access channel. We're going retro in all the old. What do you call it? Murder mysteries.
Yeah, the British murder mysteries, the kind that you used to see on Sunday afternoons on PBS.
And it's so cute because we'll watch it together, you know. And Dad, I'll be in the recliner. You and Dad are in bed, and we'll just put on one episode, and then ends up being two. And during the time, you'll go. Are you sleeping, Julie? Are you sleeping? I go, I'm not sleeping. I'm watching the show. No, are you sleeping? I mean, yes, this show is very low key.
It is designed to put you to sleep.
It's designed, you know, there's that new app called Calm.
Yes.
And they'll read to you bedtime stories for adults. Mm. You know, just things that will, you know, just get you.
Just nice and, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, this, you know, Father Brown is certainly a show that you could watch and go to bed to.
Yes.
It's all set in, I don't know, the 40s, the 50s, the 30s, I don't know, right around.
30s and 40s.
You know, in England countryside.
In the British countryside.
Now, here is what Netflix says, and I think it's really true. It describes the show as Father Brown. He's one of the most compassionate priests you'll ever meet, with a nose for solving murder. And just like Jessica Fletcher, you know, Jessica Fletcher was a murder mystery writer who lived on an island off the coast of Maine, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, she lived on an island, and she rode her bike just like Father Brown. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you're going, do not go to the island. There literally is a murder there
every week.
There's a murder there that needs to be solved every week. Yeah. Stay away from the island. Stay away from this little tiny countryside, English countryside, which is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my God, every week there's a murder there. But I have to tell you, I've gotten just so many, many great ideas and ways to film our next movie for the 40-hour movie.
Yeah. I can't wait to even, like, sign up. Is it ready to?
No, it's in June, so no, we got ways to go.
Oh, I know, but I mean, are they taking
early
sign up?
No, not yet. It's a little early.
All right.
What I find fascinating,
but make fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. We're putting our seeds out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on your side.
Sure.
Give me a break.
Please, your seeds are out there.
I know. We're seeding everywhere.
I'm looking.
And they're
embarrassing.
To ground. You know, the problem is my seeds are the seeds of an older woman.
They're not even sticky anymore.
No, they're not. And they're not. They need a lot of watering to grow.
They need Miracle Grow. Let's just face it.
100%. They need a lot of emotional support as well. You know, remember those back in the day?
They need talking to.
You know, your plants will do better if you talk to them.
Come on, you can do this.
My seeds will do better if they're talked to.
You can do it.
And so forth. Mm-hmm. But I've been enjoying this time of having these murder mysteries.
Yes. Murder.
And I love PBS and the BBC.
Yes.
And not the BBC on Dish, you know, this is like...
No, this is our personal...
This is a real BBC where it's just public access.
Yes.
They do the cultured stuff to make
I just love
smarter.
It, though. Everybody on the BBC, like in all the murder mysteries, everybody has tea.
Tea.
It's just have a spot of tea.
And strawberry scones.
Scones.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't understand because we've had scones. They're horrible.
They're horrible.
They're dry
biscuits
with a little bit of sweetness, but very dry.
I mean, I can remember like, oh my God, there's a bakery and it said featuring scones. I went, after
scones.
All this, all my murder mysteries when everybody's watching having tea and scones.
Yes.
And I went and had a scone and it was like, really?
I mostly need it to dip. You have to have milk with this because you can't get it down otherwise.
You know, another interesting feature.
What? Tell me.
Okay. of all our murder mysteries are set in England, right? Because we're watching the BBC. They have a tendency, Julie, to leave their babies outside.
Oh, yes. This is hysterical.
They leave their children outside.
Unattended.
In the prams.
Yes. I don't know what the prams are.
Prams are little baby carriages.
Oh, baby carriages. Those little buggies. So we were commenting. We were watching one and...
Father Brown.
And so Father Brown has this faithful, dutiful secretary. She's probably in her 60s, but maybe actually only in her 40s because, you know, back then you just age a lot faster. And she is very nosy and in everybody's business, but she keeps everything running, you know. And she's, in this one episode, she's caring for this baby, this little tiny thing, you know. And several times we just see her leave the baby outside in the buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes a nap out there, you know, and she cries herself to sleep. And then like, and they just, she's in the house like, oh, she's no longer crying. She must be asleep. She's calming herself down. And you're looking at me like going, what the hell? She's just leaving the kid outside?
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, I literally have information about this. And you go, do tell. I said, I was listening to a story. I either was on NPR or BBC at night, you know, when NPR goes dark and we listen to the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
And they are talking about this woman who moved from either England to the States,
mm-hmm,
or Switzerland to the States. I don't know which one. But she had a couple kids with her and one was a baby. And she would leave the baby out on her back porch unattended, crying to take a nap. Because mm-hmm, that's, she goes, the baby needs fresh air, take a nap. And she got called, DCFS got called. Department of Child and Family Services got called and came to her house going, we've been getting some phone calls. You're just leaving your child unattended out on your front porch or your back porch.
Yes.
I mean, and she's like, yeah. I mean, the baby needs to sleep outside to get some fresh air and sleep. They'll sleep better that way. Mm-hmm. They're like, what?
What?
You cannot leave a baby unattended. Just like on your front porch. Someone will take it.
This is America, people. You are not allowed to leave your kids outside.
Like, well, who's going to take a screaming baby?
People will steal your baby. No, who would steal a crying baby?
And they're like, well, we do this all the time where I'm from. You know, you leave your baby outside. Mm-hmm. And like, no baby ever gets stolen. Well, yeah, we hear about it once in a while. You can't. I mean,
if they're particularly cute.
We hear about car accidents. Doesn't mean we stop driving. So, yes, we've heard about babies being taken, but we got to let the baby get the fresh air when they want to sleep. How else will they sleep? And mostly, how else will the parents get a little break from the screaming baby?
I wish I could do that with, you know, Elliot.
We did try, remember? And we got our neighbors
yelled at us. Called us, yeah.
I mean, literally.
Get your dog inside.
Yeah, your neighbors are complaining about you. I'm like, F you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did do that. Yeah. And the Department of Doggy Welfare was called. We got chastised for leaving our dog barking outside. And I'm like, all right, dude. Okay, you win. So we got called in.
You know, speaking of winning.
Winning.
We were listening to our favorite guy, Dan Savage, this week. And he had a caller who called, and it was a woman, and she said, Dan, I'm in a little bit of a relationship quandary.
Yeah.
But she goes, I've met this most amazing man. He is attractive, young. He has a hot, rockin' body. He knows how to make love to me like nobody's business.
Now, once again, Mom might be exaggerating a little bit of this.
He has that V thing that I love, that on their waist, that thing.
Yes.
I don't know what that's called.
Well, it's
called
an 8-pack or a 10-pack.
But it goes into that V and it has that thing there.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said he had that too.
Yes.
She goes, there's only one thing that just stops me from... She goes, he has a Hitler mustache. And she goes, I everything else about him, he makes love to me great. He's intelligent, he's gorgeous, he has a great job, he makes good money.
I guess he has been together everything, forever.
But he has a Hitler mustache. And she said, you know, I finally got the courage to actually say something to him. And I said, you know, Vince, you know, if... You know, everything about you is so awesome.
Yeah.
Why do you have a Hitler mustache?
Yeah.
And Vince's answer to her was, of course, the only answer he
could
get.
The only answer.
Which is, honey, if I get rid of this mustache, Hitler wins. And she goes, Dan, tell me, what do you think about this?
Okay. Well, as we're a lot, you know, it's just so cute because I digress a little bit. You know, I had talked to a friend over the holidays who came from Portland, and that's kind of where he, Dan Savage, originates, mm-hmm. you know, what Northwest. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you, she's like, yes, I had to switch my genders there.
Yeah.
She came back different.
She went one way and came back another.
Yes. And I mean,
he went one way and she came back another.
Yes, exactly. And I were talking to him like, so like, you do know who Dan Savage is? He's like, do you? She goes, yes. And I've
been. Is the Pope Polish?
She goes, I don't think he.
Not anymore. No.
Maybe at one point. I don't know if he ever was. I mean, I'm sure he was at one point.
One point.
Yeah. But anyway, and I'm going, yeah, Mom and I listen to him all the time. It's like, you listen to him with your mom? I go, yes.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah. You know, and then, because my mom has to judge to see if Dan Savage is answering the question correctly. Because sometimes he's just not. He's off a little bit.
Sometimes he's just off.
So I did pause. I paused my iPad, my phone to discuss, you and I discuss this because we, of course, were listening to this together in the car. And
we had to discuss if Hitler won.
And I said, what do you think about, what do you think Dan's going to say about this? Because mm-hmm. I had my doubts. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't like the reasoning behind it, like the Hitler will win, or, you know, if I don't wear my Hitler mustache. Mm-hmm. My feeling is the guy just wants to wear, likes to be... draw attention to himself.
Mm, that's what I thought too.
You know, like, hey, look at me.
I'm
wearing a Hitler.
Look at me.
You know, like when a baby, you're going,
baby Hitler mustache.
This looks like baby Hitler mustache. Mm-hmm. This looks like a baby Hitler. Mm-hmm. And if you put mustache on him, he could be baby Hitler mm-hmm. mustache guy, you mm-hmm. know? So, and I'm just like, they're going for a look.
Yeah.
And
see, it'd be different if he goes,
in
like,
America, look, you can do that. You can do it. But I have the right to go and, dude, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. She said it was really embarrassing because she just adores this guy and loves him, but she's Jewish.
Yeah.
And she took him to her Hanukkah party. Yeah. And
I don't even know what to say.
I didn't know
what to say. Bad advice.
It's like Hanukkah.
I think Hanukkah she only party. Took him to that Hanukkah party because she wanted him to, like, finally wake up.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, you know.
Because we're just talking about Hitler winning, Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, so here we are at Hitler winning. And you said unequivocally, Hitler does not win. Hitler wins the mustache, she said.
That's what I said. I said Hitler won already.
Hitler won already.
He lost the war, but that mustache, he owns that.
He owns the mustache. Yeah. That's okay if he owns the mustache. Yeah.
And he also owns the name Adolf.
Adolf. And I think the haircut.
The haircut, too.
I mean, it's sort of like a half bowl haircut,
something,
right?
Some kind of weird.
It's a long bang, Aryan, half bowl. Yeah. And as well as he won the High Hitler thing. Like, no one could ever
the
do that again.
Step.
Yeah, the two-step. Those are the things he won. He lost the war. He died.
Mm-hmm.
He also lost Germany. Germany mm-hmm. became this really pretty cool, progressive mm-hmm. kind of country. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And not progressive in a weird way. Just progressive in like, hey.
We're never going to forget this, people.
We're never going to do this again. Yeah. This was really bad.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
And like, yes, the economy might have been on a turn down, but every economy goes up and down. We don't need to invoke, you know, and genocide. We don't do that.
No.
So, and so, you know.
So that's what I said.
Then we press play.
Yeah.
Because I said, I think Dan might say, listen, this, we live in America. And
we can
if you want to rock a Adolf Hitler mustache, you have every right. And it's probably just a stage. He'll get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And we then press play.
Yes.
And you told
sure
me.
Enough.
You told me, girl, you're like, let's put $10 down. I'm like, I did. I put 10 bucks down. Sure enough, that motherfucker said, literally, word for word, Adolf Hitler won the mustache. And then Dan's like, I don't think I could sleep with a guy.
Mm-mm. I don't care. I don't care how many eight packs he has.
Yeah. I don't care how much money he has. I don't care if he is the owner of Amazon's.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to get up and have that little sticky little mustache.
And that mustache's got to kiss me. And it's just, there's some point.
Yeah.
He goes really gross out here, by the way. Yeah. Dan Savage goes and becomes very graphic. And then I'm like, ew, Dan, you take it there. Now I'm sick to my stomach and I need my poop back.
Luckily, we have those two here.
It's just one Elliot. Bag. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have a poop bag and you have a puke bag.
And they can interchange.
No, I have one bag called a poop bag. Thank God my cold's going away.
Yeah.
Thank God.
You sound so much better.
I do. I sound better. I'm still a little stuffy. So that, I agree. I think it's just... I think that it's, I'm on your side, mm-hmm. even though I tend to, you know me, I'm always for free speech,
yeah.
even if it's a-hole speech.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. At this point, I think I know Dan. I know what Dan was going to say.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You're like simpatico.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
That's why I still have my large rocking chair on the front porch. Because I still determine that there are people that just need to be rocked.
That's right.
Some people are like, I'm afraid that President Trump, I don't know anymore if I can. It's not. At one point, I thought he just needed to be rocked.
Rocked enough.
But yeah. You know what? Get off my porch.
Yeah. At this point, your rocking chair is closed for the man.
They were saying, you know, like they really said, are you a spy for the Russian government? They were asking him that, you know.
Specifically.
Yeah. And I heard one guy say, there's only three choices. You're either doing it wittingly, mm-hmm. being a spy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Are you doing it unwittingly? Or, in his case, he's doing it half-wittingly. Don't say ba-dum-bump.
I was going to.
I know.
I really wanted to. I really have been wanting to.
Greg would say, Julie, please
well,
don't say ba-dum-bump.
Well, speaking of my brother, I got a text from this week. Because on our last podcast, I had said I experienced something very unusual in my trucking experience. And I said initially I thought it was crazy. And then I thought, well, this could actually be a brilliant idea. Because, mm-hmm. you know, winter in the Midwest, northern Midwest, you know, you have good good hand washing habits. So therefore your hands after about a week are chapped and
red
and
raw.
They hurt and they're raw.
Yeah.
And you're like, what to do? And then I said last week that I saw this one come out of the bathroom in really pretty blue latex gloves, mm-hmm. like surgical gloves, mm-hmm. and then wash your hands. And I thought, well, that's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I did not believe that she was just washing for washing's sake.
Yes,
I believe
you had this whole.
I had a story
about how she's probably got some medical disease going on and something, some kind of open wound, and yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little text from my brother,
and we get several emails too.
I did, and what they all said, like, hey, what they do is they fill the gloves up with lotion or put lotion on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Put the lotion on the hands. Quite a bit of lotion. Then you put mm-hmm. the gloves on, and then you just let it be. And then you live your day, washing your gloves, do what you want to do.
Squishing
your hands. Yeah. It probably feels really good. Like, mm-hmm. And then at night, you take your gloves off. And then your hands are all soft
mm-hmm.
for a little bit of that one-on-one love. I don't know.
Well, you got to sit on your hands first for that, don't you?
There you go. Make them numb. And then your hand
but
is...
But purdy.
And purdy.
Make them purdy and numb.
Purdy and numb. So they're real soft.
Yeah.
And they're purdy because you put some lotion, nail polish on mm-hmm. it. And then they're numb.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can go to town. And and if you don't know what that means, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you.
I don't know what that means.
So I thought that was very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to, I've been trying to think about different ways to get you to say this on the radio. So I'm just going to try and I'm going to give you a clue right now.
Okay.
You know, how do these pants look on me?
Baggy.
All right, cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Think the fit's good?
Are you talking about like a glove?
Yeah, kind of like that. But like, did you want to tell me a joke?
What?
Did you want to tell me a joke?
About the glove?
About that joke? Yeah.
I told it last week.
No.
I did.
You told it last week?
Remember I was saying, I said, I went to the dentist and the old guy next to me said he had 5 penises.
Yeah.
And I went, oh my God, how do your pants fit? And he went,
like a glove.
That's right.
See, a glove. Okay, well, here's the other problem. We've been reading some raw material this week.
Not raw.
No, not R-A-W. Just R-A. Now, we get into the stage where, listen, it's not uncommon for us to read, channel material.
Mm-hmm.
Channel material from non-physical
entities.
This material, the raw material, R-A, it's called the One material, O-N-E, mm-hmm. and it's channeled from an alien.
A group of aliens.
A group of aliens. Wait.
Is it a group or one? Just one.
A species, I think.
Okay.
A group, a species.
Okay.
And so,
I'm not sure anymore.
We'll have to read it again.
Yeah.
But one of the things about having an extraterrestrial experience is that you lose time. Mm-hmm. And I think I lost time this week. That's why I forgot that you had told the joke.
Oh, my
already.
God.
I had a moment with the extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
And only through deep meditation mm-hmm. will I really know what they did with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you right now, I'm sure it involved their hands being in gloves. I'm just sure of that.
How much time did you lose, honey?
I mean, just like 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there.
Through the whole week?
Yeah, through the week here. Here, 30 minutes there.
Are you sure you weren't? Is it something called napping?
Oh, wait. What? Isn't that different?
Watching Father Brown and you kind of like snoozing off?
I could have been.
Oh, you think you're like aliens have come for you.
There you go. Well, possibly.
Well, but the channel material does not talk about them taking you.
No, it does not.
Were talking about that, though.
Well, in the introduction, different. They talk about it.
Oh, they're talking about alien abductions.
Well, because...
And that how that was a movement. Or no, I'm not sure.
So basically, this channel material is mm-hmm. channel material from an alien species. And in the foreword, they're setting us up to let us know that the language might be a little different and mm-hmm. and so forth. Exactly. And... But what they're talking about is like during this time, this is a time when, alien abductions were getting kind of, for lack of a better word, popular.
For lack of that better word, yeah. what would have been?
We're coming into...
Its own?
Its own, yeah. Because mm-hmm. You don't hear about it very often anymore. I mean, literally back in the day, I have to tell you, I have you to blame.
Okay.
Because you opened this door into my life mm-hmm. of the paranormal, supernatural, mm-hmm. new age, new wave, whatever.
All of the above.
All of the above. And I thank you for it.
Yeah.
I thank
You're
you
welcome.
For it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
But there were nights, sleepless nights, I was afraid about being abducted as a little kid.
Aww.
I was like, please don't let me be abducted. Please don't. Jesus, Mother Mary, Joseph. Please, anybody out there listening,
you don't want to be abducted.
I don't want to be abducted because you have also told me your stories of not being
of abduction,
not of abduction, but of having like balls of light,
yes,
shown in your room,
yes,
and then missing time,
yes, and then people coming to school for me and making me do experiments.
Oh, yes, I'll tell you more about that. So I mean, we know that it's there. We know, and then unfortunately, we've all seen you and me and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Gregory has.
He's different from us.
Doug has, because I've been with him and showed him. We've had a fight over it because we were driving from Sterling to Dixon. It's mm-hmm. nighttime.
Oh, I remember this.
And I'm seeing this.
I remember
red
this
ball.
Yeah.
Fall from the sky and then stop.
Yeah,
and I go, oh my God. And immediately, what do I immediately do?
Call me.
I call you. Yeah. I go, I just want to let you know what I'm witnessing. And Dad's like, why are you calling your parents? I like, do you not see what I'm seeing? We don't know what this is going to end. This could end in a big explosion.
Yeah.
This could end in actual us being abducted. And the fact that you're like, why am I calling my parents? Of course, who else would I have called?
Exactly.
I'm with you, so I wouldn't be calling you. I'd be calling the people who are not with me. And then the ball just disappeared.
Just disappeared. Yeah. That's,
I don't know what happened.
That's a clue.
But, okay, so we were together and driving in the country, dusk. And for literally 15 minutes, we saw a light show.
Yeah.
Of three big balls that look like stars getting big, coming together into one, breaking apart into three again, over and over and over again.
It was so cool.
And then we heard Larry King talk about
later on that day.
In Michigan, which could have been, I mean, if you would have kept going, that line of sight would have hit Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then that was interesting. I saw the triangle.
We even called the police departments.
Did
anybody see that?
And I had to, come on. I had to actually, I had to qualify. I'm like, listen, we're college educated people here. Like, really? Hello?
Like, I'm not saying we went to Trump University.
Yes, like that means I can see a UFO and nobody else can. Give me a break. But then, I saw the triangle, the famous triangle that people see once in a while.
Yes.
I saw, and you can look it up, the Tinley Park triangle. I believe it's the same one because the same night that all went down, I saw my triangle over our house.
Yeah.
And I run in, middle of the night, I run in, I go, Mama, Papa, we have a UFO right above our house.
That kind of scared me.
It did. And then you're like, what do we do? But Dad was like, let's go see. Let's go up and see. I throw my purse on the bed. I'm like, we all get up and we run outside. And of course, it's totally pitch black out, but the stars were everywhere. And you're like, where's it at? I'm like, well, let me find it. I got to find it in the midst of all these stars. And I'm like, right there. You see it?
And these three stars blacked out the sky.
Are blacking out the stars behind it. And it's a triangle that, and Normano's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I go, it's a triangle.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's
the Tinley Park triangle.
So that was over our house.
Yeah.
Now another thing, I don't know, we did not talk about this was going to become a UFO supernatural kind of show today.
Right.
But why not? So I remember a year ago Doug and I met Quinn and her significant other, Joey. You know, we always have a Joey in the family.
Yeah.
And we met in the cornfield to look at the meteor shower. And I just said to everybody, I go, wouldn't it be wonderful? Let's put our intention out there.
Oh, yeah.
To see a UFO. And I clarified. I go, listen, UFOs, I do not want to see you land. I don't want to see you come out.
We don't want to make contact.
No third kind here. Really two kind. Close encounter, second kind.
Yeah.
I think a second kind.
Yeah. Or is division it, or what? Or is that the first kind? No, wait.
The second kind, they land. I just want it up in the sky.
Yeah.
And literally, we saw this thing, this light, just circle around the top of us. Like, Quinn's like, what the hell is that? I go, well, we asked for it.
Yeah.
And we see it.
Yeah.
And it's so great because you think you should be scared or freak out and never be able to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you're like, well, all right.
They say, though, if you're at night and you're at a cornfield, like waiting for a UFO, if you look in the cornfields and you see blue flashes of light, those are forgotten souls.
Oh.
Or sometimes they could be alien, too, alien souls. But have you ever seen blue flashes of light in cornfields?
No. Have you?
No.
So those are my small things. Now, I remember as a kid, I have a specific memory. I was in kindergarten, and I don't know if this is even true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is
true. Was I involved in it?
No. I'm in kindergarten. I'm talking to Mark Redeker, who I had the biggest crush on.
Yeah.
His mom was a teacher.
Yeah.
Kindergarten teacher. Loved her. Loved her kid. They both had red hair. I loved them both.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you guys well. I don't know. I hope life was good for you.
Go on Facebook and see.
Yeah, really. Then I remember specifically saying to him, did you hear about the UFOs in Chicago? And he's like, no. I go, it was on the cover of the papers. And I saw him. I'm like, I really literally think I just lied the entire time. Oh, I don't know what the hell I was talking about. But I'm literally talking to Mark Redeker about, hey, I saw UFOs over the weekend in Chicago. Did you not see them? And did you not notice they were in Chicago and that they were front of the paper? The Chicago Tribune, right there. I witnessed those. He's like, I had no idea this was going down.
You're like, do you like me now?
Yeah.
How do you like me now, Mark Redeker?
Exactly. How do you like me now? Am I in your favor? Am I making a good impression? And he's like, no, you're crazy.
Yeah, she's a crazy girl and she doesn't have red hair.
And so you have 2 or 3 UFO experiences on your own.
Oh, yeah.
With Normano. So this is very weird. Well, at least one.
One, at least for sure.
Yeah. In the Florida Keys.
Yes, in the Florida Keys.
You chased one down.
Yes. It was like 12:30 at night. We had just gone to Alligator Alley because I had heard that if you go to like a swamp, mm-hmm, and you just bring a flashlight,
it'll be filled with Trumps.
All you do is find these red eyes.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. It was so cool.
So the eyes reflect back red.
Yeah.
That's what they
and you
do.
Just like, oh, interesting. Because you're like, we went to a swamp, which was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Norm almost stepped on one.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'm talking about
crocodiles. Yeah.
I don't know if it's alligators or crocodiles. I guess it's alligators. Yeah. But we saw all these red eyes and stuff. And then so then that was over with. And then we're saying, let's head home. We're the only people on this like Alligator Alley highway. And then we saw this very, very quiet, just like right above us. And it was shaped like what's that one fish that killed that one Australian guy? Stingray?
Oh, a stingray,
it was shaped like a stingray.
Hmm.
That shape, but without the long tail.
So it was like a triangle.
But it was more roundish.
Got it. Yes.
Yeah.
A soft triangle.
Yeah. And it was totally silent.
Interesting.
And I actually lowered my window and looked straight up because I could see, that's how it was right above me.
Yeah.
And it didn't, it had like a light bridge.
Yeah.
In the back.
Yeah.
Of it, not in the front.
Oh, wow.
And then it kind of started to move across. And so we stopped and we were going to turn around to follow it, but it went over this like bank of trees and then we didn't see it anymore. Well, literally didn't see it anymore. We tried to, but it just
disappeared.
It just disappeared.
And that's what they talked about because in the raw material.
Yeah.
Because they're beginning, you know, we're reading the raw material. And at some point I'm going, these people are totally high. They are doing shrooms. This is, and then I go, this is awesome. This is effing awesome. And so, and I've heard people reference the raw material over, you know, through my life. And I've read some of it off and on. And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, I totally believe this, you know, about being one consciousness and all this stuff. And so we're reading it. And the reason why they got into the UFO and abduction stuff is because they started, so this professor was into telepathy.
Right.
And he was doing lots of research on that. And he would have interesting results, but they weren't duplicatable.
Right.
And they talked about, they just came out and said, like, listen, if you want to have duplicatable results, going into the paranormal is not for you. And actually, if you're looking to have results like that, you're actually going to get worse results.
You're
going to
be disappointed.
Disappointed. Yeah. And you won't search it out then because you'll be too disappointed.
Yeah. So you have to kind of lower the bar, kind of like Zach Bagans.
Yes. I mean, yes. Here's a dealio, like Zach Bagans. Oh, yes. On Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Adventures.
Ghost Adventures.
Because how he duplicates his stuff
is if you feel angry or scared, that's enough to say there's a ghost right near
you. Or if you get a goosebumps on your arm.
A chill.
Yeah.
It's if you feel anxious or you're angry or you have like a little afraid. Mm-hmm. So anxious, angry, another A, afraid, the three A's.
Mm-hmm.
One of those three A's.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get chills. Because you have Arctic air. I try to get the fourth A. That's a ghost. That's all you need to prove a ghost.
Yeah, or something.
A spirit.
Spirit.
Entity, evil being, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's like, you better get to know them because they're totally different. Like, something could be evil.
Yeah.
Something could just be friendly.
Right.
Something could just be left over.
Yes.
Something could just be like teenage energy.
Yeah, you know? Angst, teenage angst, trapped into
a poltergeist.
Yes, or just trapped into the house could be built on limestone and mm-hmm. therefore, or have running water underneath it,
magnetizing everything,
and it's trapped energy. Mm-hmm. All this stuff.
Yep.
But if you're looking for scientific proof that can be repeated mm-hmm. in a lab, you are
shit out of luck.
That ain't happening.
That's right.
And because we've had spiritual stuff happen to us, we're okay with that, living in that realm. Mm-hmm. I'm totally okay with it. We don't know enough yet, you know. In the future, we may be able to pop in and out of these, multiverses.
Possibly.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is true. Like, it's like traveling into different realms.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
in fact, I asked you what you were doing the other day because you were like kind of like out of consciousness for about an hour.
Yes.
And you said I went on a meditation to do teleportation.
Yes.
And
increase my psychic abilities.
And increase your psychic abilities.
I took a little trip.
Yeah.
In the mind. That's right. In my consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I intentionally to develop my telepathy mm-hmm. And my psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. And, in this meditation, you're supposed to, kind of have an intention of how it's going to show up for you in the next couple of weeks, mm-hmm. To prove that you're right. And initially I'm like, I'm going to win the lottery. And I'm like, oh, that's just really so passe. So passe.
Starting out with winning the lottery.
So what I did was I wrote an envelope, what I thought politically was going to happen this week.
No way.
I did.
Oh, my God.
And then I open it up, and you know what it says? We're one step closer to impeachment.
Hitler wins.
Yeah. What? Hitler wins, exactly. Yeah,
that's what you wrote.
I wrote Hitler won. Hitler wins. Exactly. So, no. So that was very interesting. But, so we're here, and it's kind of funny because I'm reading this information about Rogan, and it's like, this idea that, they also went to seances.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I'm like, do people even do seances anymore?
No, that's kind of passe, actually.
It is, because most people have in their circle a psychopomp. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a psychopomp in my circle mm-hmm. of influence, mama. Mm-hmm. And I think now most people have a psychopomp they can reach out to mm-hmm. that acts as a conduit.
Yeah.
They don't have to have
The seance.
The seance and all the hoopla with the candles and all the showy stuff.
No.
But at this time, psychopomps were not just around the corner, so they had to go all these seances. Mm-hmm. Because what they felt was, with the UFO phenomena, people would describe a UFO as being here 1 minute and gone the next.
Yes.
Such as yours.
Right.
And they felt like the only way to do this is that they were going bleeding through dimensions. Mm-hmm. That they really didn't travel like in our plane. Mm-hmm. It was like one dimension they were here, another dimension they were gone. Mm-hmm. And then back and forth. Mm-hmm. And seances, you'd have a ghost or a spirit mm-hmm. materialize.
Pop through.
In this dimension.
Yeah.
And then disappear and go back to their own dimension. Mm-hmm. And so in this moment, in this one space, many dimensions reside, but I'm only experiencing my dimensional stuff.
Supposedly.
Yes. Yeah. And I like that movie. I kind of look at that movie at the end of Midnight Special. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Because at the end, it's about this kid who's really like he's a human being, but his light body is very activated, mm-hmm. and he shouldn't belong here in this dimension. Mm-hmm. You may think he was an alien, but he's not an alien.
Right.
He's just not meant for this dimension.
Yeah.
And at one point. Kind of
like me and you.
Yes.
He's just not
exactly.
meant for.
At one point then, at the end of the movie, his dimension opens up and we just see this new light body world. Right?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, this is interesting. But it's living simultaneously.
Right here, yeah.
And so he goes to that dimension.
Yeah. Many people believe that the new heaven and the new earth
yes.
really are just
a dimensional thing.
It's just like right on top of it.
Well, and that's why in Law of Attraction, mm-hmm. you talk about you're only just literally a decision away from being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And changing your vibration, attracting at a different level, mm-hmm. being, and then because you've been there, I've been there, where I've gone to a situation, experienced the exact same thing as somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and we will have a completely different experience.
Oh yeah, because you're basically a happy girl,
and we will see things differently, experiencing, mm-hmm. and you're going, is this? So the truth is, we have evidence.
Like today, we were at the gym.
Yeah,
and our gym has like. We have our gyms in the basement, but then on the first floor, there's this thing called the Prairie Room.
Yes.
And it has like straps yes. and Julie's like thing that she works on, like a core thing or whatever.
Yeah. It's a balancing thing that you yeah. balance on while you're doing your core work.
Yeah. And so
we did the plank.
We were heading toward the basement, but I noticed that there was like a child in that yes. room. And Julie was like, oh, there's just like a father and son in
throwing
there.
The ball around.
So,
yeah.
It was so sweet. And I went, like, what the hell's up?
What the hell? I go, get out of my prayer room. You were sending them an energy bomb. Because
yeah.
you knew you wanted to get into that prayer room. And they better be gone by the time you got there.
But I was like,
initial reaction was,
yeah.
They were pissing you off.
Yeah, get out.
My initial reaction was, oh
how sweet, father and son.
Yeah. Which I just now realized. We went to the gym, and there are kids around. You know, should they be in school or doing something?
Why aren't they?
I don't know. It's crazy.
I don't know.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. So, going back to Father Brown, because we like to rate our shows. First of all, I like to rate the raw material as
five Sherpas.
Really, Jill? I don't know.
We just started. We're like a page 12.
We've read this before
yeah.
through the decades,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted to go back to it because somehow it popped up in our, like, hey, Amazon recommends this
mm-hmm.
for you, the raw material, because mm-hmm. you were into, we bought a book on Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not written by Dan Savage, by the way.
It's not written. We are all over the map, aren't we?
We really are.
Oh,
it's
my
hysterical.
God. Thus, people are saying, did they just say Melchizedek? Yes, we did.
We just said Melchizedek. Because Mom has had this intuitive revelation that the Holy Spirit said to you, you know, Chrissy, to know more about your role on planet Earth at this time,
mm-hmm.
you need to study the work of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know
the life.
Mm-hmm. The life and times and the work of Melchizedek. If you know anything about Melchizedek, he literally is just a blurb in the Bible.
Right.
Like, I think God goes to him. Or no, Abraham goes to him mm-hmm. for spiritual counseling. Mm-hmm. That was it. I mean, it's something, it's literally nothing.
He's literally just a blurb.
A blurb. And so the Holy Spirit says, Chrissy. So I guess we're going to be having
to. So where are we going to go? Who do we see about a blurb?
I'm seeing that you're going to be channeling.
Right.
I'm going to be taking notes, asking questions while you're in a deep meditative state so that we can find out more about Melchizedek.
So you're going to ask Ra.
Yes.
Why don't you ask Ra about?
I could ask Ra, because in this work
about Melchizedek,
I could do that. But I would ask the Holy Spirit. I would ask. You're going to ask him.
Or we could just ask Father Brown.
Exactly, because he knows everything. Because he's the most compassionate father in the whole wide world, and he solves murders. So just going
to
gotta
say it. He solves murders.
He solves murders. And there's no murder, but he does it. Okay, I'm fascinated with Father Brown because there's three seasons. Thank God. And there must be 20 episodes in each season. Thank the Lord, because I'm loving this guy. But he wants to solve these murders for no other reason to see the guilty that were charged, the unjustly guilty,
mm-hmm.
or no.
Yeah, he just they always the formula is they take the wrong person into prison.
Yeah,
and they're going to be hanged.
Hanged. Yeah, they're going to not even like a lifetime in prison. No,
they just hang him.
Yeah,
even if you're a female.
Yes. Get hung.
And so he's always like wanting them to, he wants, first of all, he'd like to save them, but if he can't, he wants at least to save their soul.
Yes. So he's always about like, listen, I'm not here to judge. God will judge you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here I want your soul to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And God is always there for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. There is always time for forgiveness.
Yes.
And the person finally always goes, God cannot forgive me. I've done something terrible. God can... Oh, my child.
Father Brown is so compassionate.
I go, you will need to come clean.
All you need to do is repent.
Repent. Go to the cops to clear the other person.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep building up on this crime here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, you killed somebody, but you don't want to send an innocent person to jail either. Mm-hmm. And then God will forgive you and you'll go to heaven and spend the rest of your life in heaven. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. like, cool.
Good.
Good.
That's right. That's his rap. That's his niche.
He has saved many a murderous souls.
Yes.
Many a murderous souls.
And I kind of would love to live in a little town like that.
I don't know why. Well, first of all, you kind of do.
Yeah. I kind of do.
You kind of already do. We live in a subdivision out in the middle of nowhere, and people ride their bikes and golf carts. Mm-hmm. You know, we just need a church.
Yeah.
Which we do have.
Which we do have, Julie.
We have a church. Yeah. You know, literally, it's just, and we have rolling hills. I mean, mm-hmm. we do have it. But we I've learned so much. On. I know I've said this before, but I learned so much how to film. Like,
I know.
We see don't Father Brunt.
Wait, don't tell anybody.
Okay, I won't probably.
Because what if somebody is listening that's going to do the 48-hour film festival and yeah. you give them our new tips?
Because they make these movies without any special effects. Mm-hmm. Father Brown, there's nothing special going on.
Just acting. And just good acting.
Good acting. And the scenery is better. And so.
Julie, I'm going to punch you so
I'm
hard.
I'm not giving away any secrets.
All right.
Okay. So five Sherpa hats.
Five Sherpa hats. For Father Brown?
For Father Brown.
Or for the raw material.
Like you said, we really can't. You can't. It's hard to judge because mm-hmm. there are moments I find the raw material completely raw. It's raw, man. And I like going, oh, you guys are stoned out of your gourd. So stoned. And then you just put it down on paper like it was supposed to be something special.
Yeah. Just like Julie one time was taking some notes for my friend and I who we were channeling. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And she was tired and she fell asleep writing the word lizard people.
This is what I grew up on. This is exactly. No wonder I have no filters or no limits on my brain. I'm like, yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I wrote down lizard people.
I go.
Yes, you did, honey.
Yeah. What's the last thing you wrote down? What do you remember? I have no idea. Oh, lizard people. Yeah.
But it's more like lizard people.
I wrote it very long and slow, and then it fades away. So you knew exactly where I was in my state of mind.
Exactly.
And it's so funny because I think at that point, something was going around where you would say, now look at this person on TV. If you could tell,
that's still true.
Their mouth,
by the way,
doesn't look real.
Right,
lizard person.
That's a lizard people.
Lizard people, part of the lizard people clan. I'm like, okay, no doubt.
So we could be like right now. There could be, you know, the deep state ag after you right now.
Why?
Because you're talking about the lizard people. You're talking about the raw material.
I'm part of the. Disinformation or
that's true.
The declassification.
Yes.
Or
That's right. Are you for disclosure?
I'm for disclosure.
Are you for the
disinformation?
Disinformation.
I'm for disclosing all disinformation.
It's hard to tell at some point.
Sometimes it's hard to tell. Sometimes it's hard to
tell. I like when you always say, though, at the end of any kind of rantings that you do, or you always say, please note, people, this is for entertainment purposes right. only. And then that sort of like absolves you from anything.
Because I know my life and my experience. And the truth is, when I hear people put their stuff down in books, mm-hmm. I'm like, I go, dude, really? My mom's been channeling this material for decades. I've got loads of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You just made it, put it with a bind. You know, you binded it, right. You know, had a publisher. And so now your material is like the most important thing in the world. I go, please.
Please.
Mic drop. I've had this in my life for decades.
We have cassettes.
Yes.
We have notebooks.
Exactly.
And we're still here.
And we're still here, you know. You know, and no one, I mean, decades from now, mother, someone will be reading your channel material going, okay.
Well, that's.
Who is CM?
Yeah.
Who is this person going by CM?
CM.
Because honestly, the raw material could just be like Rudolph Alexander or Rudolph Adolf.
Oh, the A word.
Yeah, the A word. Exactly, exactly. By the way, we got a little ding on the phone because we've just been delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yay, exactly. Yay.
It's always so fun to get those dings from Amazon.
I know.
What would we have done without Amazon? Hmm. What would we have done? We'd have to buy our shampoo at the grocery store.
Well, I find you know, it's kind of funny. We kind of given up, you know, back in the day, when the big box Walmart came around, we would be all so sad because we know inevitably
we'd lost the mom and pop stores.
Yep, all along the way we lost some stores, right? But Amazon comes and no one's really, really complaining about it too much. Like,
yeah, I want that little happy, I want that little smiley face box on my
except
porch.
That we bought. I mean, because we go to Walmart and we go to Aldi, we go to our mom and pop stores. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that I call Walmart our mom and pop store.
Yeah, because listen,
all the mom and pops are working there.
Excuse me, it's the grandma and grandpa store.
Oh yes,
Julie and I were passing by Walmart the other day, and there was two like probably 90-year-olds having their ciggy breaks.
Yeah,
and had their little Walmart jackets on.
I'm not joking. I bet know they people were their 80s.
I would believe it.
And
100% believe it.
And I know a friend of mine who's in her 60, almost 60. She and she's kind of on disability. She's working there for like 3 or 4 weeks because of remodeling. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're just, if you can stand,
they're hurting for certain.
If you can put your butt in a rolling chair, we can have you stack. You know, we just need bodies to stack. And I'm like, that's incredibly awesome. So but I have to say, I was kind of upset with Amazon because they now have their own line of stuff.
Yeah, I am upset with them as well.
And so I try.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
Because they know what are the good things that are selling.
Yes.
And then they come up and bring their own Amazon brand. And of course, we're going to buy it because it's on Prime. We get it delivered free. It's very much.
I gotta stop doing that though. I'm gonna stop doing that. I'm gonna stop buying Amazon brand stuff because I just feel like now that's the way of destroying the little mom and pop store.
Because that mom and pop store was in Amazon.
Yeah.
And now the Amazon, for knowing all their algorithms, knows how to get you to look at their little paper shredder first.
Yeah. It's like, oh, paper shredder. Yeah. For whatever reason, people like to buy that on Amazon.
Like this week, we bought a paper shredder and a butter dish.
And now, butter dish. And we were looking at a specific butter dish, which is one that has a handle on top.
Yeah.
And one that would fit the
square.
A square butter. Because we buy
the square butter.
Irish butter. Because the cows...
We buy the muck butter, the old butter.
The butter.
The muck butters.
The butter, not from McDonald's, but from the old Leary's, the old butter from the old Leary's, because their cows are fed grass and they roam and they're happy cows. Mm-hmm. So I figure that's the only thing I can do is buy my butter from Happy Cows.
Yeah.
It's the one thing. And supposedly grass-fed butter is just so much better for you.
And they were free-range cows.
And they're free-range, supposedly, and so forth. So you had to buy a butter dish to fit that.
Mm-hmm.
And we found one there on Amazon.
And I also bought my Melchizedek book.
Yes, because they go, hey, because you like Melchizedek.
And this butter dish and a paper shredder. Holy shit, who are these people?
Who are these people?
If you like this, then you'll like Father Brown.
Yeah, exactly. You'll like this.
I love it, though, because everybody knows what I like. You know, I go to Netflix. Chris, hi, you're watching TV. You know, here are some new things, but you know what? You've watched these things before, and we think since you like this, you will like these things.
Yes.
And everybody, you know, everything
they were
knows,
wrong about one thing. We only got a couple minutes left.
I know which one you're going to say, girlfriend.
Oh, share then.
They were wrong about, I can't think of the name of it, Sniffer. But they understood because of our movie, probably, that we made.
Oh, yes.
Ugh. Is that why?
I'm about ready. My nose is getting clogged up. No. We like crime dramas.
Mm-hmm.
We like foreign crime dramas, if you want to think that things set in England and Australia
are foreign.
And this one is a guy who has an incredible sense of smell. Mm-hmm. And we're watching it, all of a sudden, and that he can sound like incredible, which is hysterical because that was what our last 40-hour movie
was. Our last 40-hour movie was about us.
We had to have a superhero power.
Yeah.
And we became superheroes by taking pot that was
gummy pear pot
and the pot was sniffed out by our dog Elliot and it went through his system we got his DNA, which you have a heightened sense of smell, and so that's what our storyline was.
We got our superhero powers, we could sniff out crime.
Yeah, exactly. And so they think this is a good sniffer on Netflix. Mm-hmm. 3 seasons, and we're like, oh, it's just caption. They're speaking a different language. And for like 20 seconds, we're like, what language are they speaking? I go, it's Russian.
It's Russian.
It's Russian.
They thought that we wanted to watch a Russian.
And I
we ain't there for no Russian stuff.
Not in this country. No, oh, no. Sorry about.
We don't do Russian.
Also, the reason why is that, okay, we like Father Brown because it's bright scenery, sunny. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You're completely depressed watching this show because everybody's wearing gray.
It's all gray. The show's all gray.
And they're yelling at each other continuously.
Yeah.
It just sounds like
and everything is all sterile. There's no flowers.
No.
There's nothing. It's just like you open a drawer, there's nothing in it but a bottle of vodka.
And this guy driving down the street, there's no other cars around.
No.
I'm like, I don't get it. And he parks into a parking lot.
There's no other cars.
I'm like, what? I go, is this? I don't go.
Yeah, they're all in Siberia.
Yeah, that's right.
And we all went to, was that the cold place, right?
Yep, that's the cold place. That's a really bad place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, girlfriend, that was our show.
Whoa, what the hell?
I know. So, how was the show for you?
It was like, were we on shrooms or something?
We were on shrooms.
Oh my God.
We meditated and enhanced our telepathy and our intuition.
Say, repeat after me. G.
G.
R.
R.
And the number eight.
It was great. It was great. It was great.